Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Episode 5 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka, at least for this week. In this Episode 5, we'll have a CCFR update. We'll also check out a little bit of firearm news, and we'll finish up with an episode of CCFR Insight. So let's get this show going right now.
And now a CCFR update.
Hey, everybody. I appreciate you listening in. We're going to talk a little bit about some stuff going on in the CCFR. Basically, only two things. Again, like I said last week, we're not going to really get into all the different gun shows and all the rest of that stuff. You can find that kind of information on firearmrights.ca and also on our Facebook group, the CCFR group. What I want to talk about today is, first of all, if you or someone that you know would be the perfect host for the CCFR Radio Podcast, we are looking for a host and looking for somebody that wants to do this thing. We want to keep it going. It's a great way for people to stay up to date with the CCFR, but it's a lot of work. And personally, I've got a lot of other things going as well also some big projects coming with the CCFR as well. So I really don't have time to do it. So we're looking for someone. Just want to talk real quick about the qualities that you need to have if you want to host the CCFR podcast. So number one, you need to have a pretty decent voice, unlike myself. I kind of struggle through these things personally, but if you have a good voice that's that people like to listen to, that'd be great. Also, understand the firearm topic in the community. I mean, obviously, this isn't a compulsory quality, but it's always better if you really understand what you're talking about, especially if you're going to be interviewing people and stuff like that. Also, have some level of restraint and good judgment. We're all our own worst enemies, and I'm no exception. I constantly throw the filter on all the time, but if you've got some decent judgment and some good self-restraint, then you won't have to edit the heck out of stuff for it to be good for mass consumption. So that's definitely a quality we'd like to see. Also, have the ability to generate a reasonable quality recording on a bi-weekly basis. So just to kind of give you the nuts and bolts of it, if you can do the podcast content, there's other volunteers at the CCFR that can help you render that into a finished podcast. And of course, you wouldn't have to even upload it. We've got people that have volunteered to do that stuff, but you are going to have to be able to have the ability to create a good quality recording on a bi-weekly basis. And obviously, you also need to have that level of commitment that's required to make sure that you consistently deliver that podcast. And I think for someone that wants to kind of get into podcasting, it's kind of a good opportunity for you to get your feet wet and also to build an audience at the same time. So kind of a good opportunity all the way around. So it's going to be difficult, but if you think you're a good fit or you know someone that might be, have them or you can submit an audition file. And send it to podcast@firearmrights.ca. So maybe a 2-minute audition and just let us know kind of what that's going to sound like. And as I said, podcast@firearmrights.ca. Hopefully we can get that going soon so I don't have to do every episode myself. I'm going to get Trevor Furlott to help me as well. But anyway, we want to get that going. The other update item that I did want to talk about today are the explainer videos. So I threw up the last three explainer videos kind of all in one lump, and I have to thank special thanks to Matt Magelin. And Matt is someone in Alberta that's been really helping us with some content stuff. And Matt, what he does is I send the explainer video once it's finished over to Matt, and he writes the essay and puts the web posts and stuff together and then releases it on the website. And that in itself is a fair bit of work. So big thanks to Matt Magelin. I really appreciate the help in getting those out there. Now, why did I throw all three of those up, these last ones, rather than trickling them out as we have been? Well, I'll tell you, it was a project that I've been working on for 5 months, and it was a tremendous amount of work. And the reason why I wanted to release all the rest at once is so we can get started with the other portion of the work. And the other portion of the work is getting people to use those explainers and get into conversations on the internet and otherwise. So I don't want to, again, get into how it all works again, but let me just say this as a summary. Remember, what are the explainers for? They're not, you know, preaching to the choir. They're not for us. I mean, I guess they might be for us, for our community, in that if you're not a really good debater or you really don't know a lot of the points that you might want to hit if you get into an argument with somebody about gun control, maybe those are very helpful to you to kind of form your arguments. But moreover, what they are for is for everybody to have an opportunity for people to spend maybe one or two nights, evenings a month, and to go on the internet and provoke some conversation. Go on Twitter and find an anti-gun Twitter feed and challenge people on their beliefs and on their assertions. And when they say, well, no, you know, firearm registration is a huge part of gun control and it's very beneficial, then you say, well, boom, just say here, respond to this. And then you just put the link to the explainer video. And of course, we've got explainer videos on a wide variety of different topics. And I don't think, and you know, I don't have all the answers, but I don't think you can really lose an argument online. Because even if you throw up one of the most recent ones that I did, which are a little bit more ideological in their, they're not, you know, to do specifically with a certain law or regulation, they're ideological. So people usually come back at that with, well, more guns equal more death. There's some ridiculous emotional argument that doesn't make any sense. Then even if they come back on you from the ideological post, you've got all the factual posts and the legislative posts right behind there on the heels. And that's a great, that's how we win hearts and minds, people. You know, a lot of people out there, they just have never heard the gun control argument before. All they've heard is mainstream media. And of course, guns are bad and people that own guns are bad. So, you know, you might be actually doing somebody a very significant service by engaging them online. And of course, with all those explainers there, there's no possible way you can lose the argument unless they turn completely irrational, which is a possibility as well. Another thing I was thinking about was uploading all those explainers to the Civil Advantage channel, my firearms channel, just to get them a little bit more exposure. I haven't made up my mind on that, but I think it's important that we get those explainers out there. They took a lot of effort and they cost a lot of money. So we want to get them as much mileage out of them as humanly possible.
It's not about hunting versus sports shooting. It's about standing up for your own ability to own and use firearms. Join the CCFR right now at www.firearmrights.ca. And now, the news on CCFR Radio.
All right, so a little bit of CCFR in the news. I just wanted to make mention that Tracy Wilson was featured on a radio interview on AM 980 with Andrew Lawton. And that was regarding the Canadian Firearms Advisory Committee, or CFAC. And it's kind of interesting, you know, the gist of the story, if you hadn't heard it or read it on firearmrights.ca, is that it's about a petition that Michelle Rempel and Tracy Wilson worked together on. And it was to have the members of the CFAC complete the Canadian Firearm Safety Course so that they'd have at least the smallest minimum level of knowledge about how firearms are regulated, what's expected of licensed gun owners, what level of competency gun owners are required to have, that kind of thing. You might want to have a little bit of knowledge of the topic if you're going to be consulted on new legislation or existing legislation. Well, you would think that anyway, right? But public safety said, no, we're not going to have, we're not going to subject the members of the advisory committee to 2 days minimum training required to be a licensed individual to acquire and possess firearms in Canada. They're not going to do that. They didn't think that was valuable. And in the case of Natalie Provost, she's the vice chair of the committee. The government actually had this to say. I'm just going to read this. This is a direct quote from Public Safety. It would be insensitive and inappropriate to require a survivor of the Polytechnic shootings to work with firearms in order to serve on CFAC. To obtain the possession and acquisition license, you are required to pass the Canadian Firearm Safety Course. While this is this is classroom based, it involves handling disabled and inert firearms and ammunition, said Scott Bardsley, Goodale's press secretary. So, just a couple of, I'm not going to beat this one to death. If you're interested in the story, as I said, go to firearmrights.ca, check out the story. There's a link to the actual radio interview. I think Tracy did a really good job on that one as well. But we've done everything we could at the CCFR. We do have an open line of communication of public safety, and we've done everything that we possibly could to support public safety and making the right decisions. And in my opinion, the right decision on this particular topic would be to have a firearms advisory committee that is supposed to advise and counsel on new legislation and existing legislation, where it should go, how it should change, how it should be improved. If you're going to advise on that panel, you should have some level of expertise in the topic. This is just a rational, reasonable thing to say, and it shouldn't be a political construct. It shouldn't just be, smoke and mirrors. And you know, if you were to ask public safety or you'd ask the Liberal government, they'd say, absolutely not. We're taking a facts-based approach. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth, because if you want to advise on firearm stuff, you probably want some firearm experts on there and experts on the legislation. Now, there are a few pro-gun people there, and I'm not going to talk too much about it because I don't want to denigrate them at all. But, you know, we keep getting painted, you know, into this corner. We keep getting pushed into this little box, like with hunting. And people are always like, well, you know, hunting is the only legitimate reason to own a firearm. It's certainly not. It's not even near the only legitimate reason to own a firearm. It's not only the only moral reason to own a firearm, too, right? It's not all about how everybody else defines what legitimacy is. But anyway, all that to say, we keep getting pushed into, put into this little box that says, well, we don't need any handgun experts on the panel because, I mean, handguns are not appropriate for hunting, so no one should own them. So anyway, it's a very poorly represented panel. It is completely unmasked, as it were, at least in my opinion, that it is just a political, political effort, a political construct. It's really difficult to take public safety seriously when they say, you know, that they're truly interested in improving, the way that our laws apply to reducing firearm violence in Canada, when it's just nothing more than a political animal. So, and let's move on to CCFR Insights.
And now, only on CCFR Radio, CCFR Insights.
So in this episode of CCFR Insights, I just wanted to cover quickly some firearm-related stories that have appeared in mainstream media and how this is connected to the regulation of licensed gun owners. So kind of to boil that down, the interesting experiment we're kind of thinking about in this episode is, why does the CCFR exist? The CCFR exists because gun owners have a real branding problem, and they've had a branding problem for a long time, because we really haven't had an organization that focused specifically on reaching out to the public and expending resources and creating projects to make sure that licensed, law-abiding gun owners are well represented. And you know, you can argue that we've been well represented in the past. I would have to see the evidence of that to go along with that. Basically, today it's just as bad as it was in the early 90s. If you look at the media, how we're represented, it's ridiculous. So I've got a couple of links here. The first thing, first link I'm going to have a look at here, I'm going to get this story up on my browser for you. But this one comes from the Ottawa Sun. All right, man in custody after gun shown in road rage incident. Now, if you look at the title, and you're going to see my point in a second, right? You look at the title and says, oh, a gun was flashed, obviously, in road rage incident. So this is pretty serious. Let's have a look at this story. It says a 23-year-old man is in police custody after a road rage incident led to a search warrant being executed in Bell's Corners overnight and into the small hours of Sunday morning. So the police said the incident started with a verbal altercation at about 8:30 p.m. outside a Wendy's fast food restaurant in some certain place, and then continued as two groups of people got into their cars and traveled eastbound Hazeldine Road. So anyway, a male passenger in a car driven by a woman then brandished what was described as a handgun as they neared some road or whatever, right? So I'm going to skip all the rest of the, you know, riveting story about guns being brandished in these altercations and go right to the end. It says police then executed a search warrant on the residence, where they recovered three airsoft handguns, one which was believed to have been used in the road rage incident. So, you know, the guy Perkins has been charged with pointing a firearm, assault, possession of weapons dangerous to the public, and breach of recognizance. So he was on recognizance. So I guess he's not a law-abiding gun owner, not a licensed gun owner, certainly. And he didn't even have a gun. Okay, so again, now that we've looked at the rest of the story, and this is so representative of how guns and gun owners are represented in the media. It's just so ridiculous. So anyway, it's just such a great example of how disingenuous and dishonest media is when it comes to covering firearm stuff. And that, you know what? That was the Sun too. It wasn't even the Star, the Red Star. So Anyway, let's have another look at another story. This on Global News. This is kind of interesting. It says Belleville residents shaken after police respond to gun call in the East End. And what this is residents in the city's East End are shaken after police were called following an incident where a man was allegedly waving a handgun. What's kind of interesting is it says the video shows a distraught man getting into an argument outside a house on Brassey Street. At first glance, he appears to be carrying what looks like a handgun. So here's a witness says, I came back out and he has this gun. And I'm like, oh my gosh, these are direct quotes. So I run inside. And I'm like, Dad, you need to call 911. There's a gun outside. Police arrived moments later. An officer pulled out his pistol and can be heard in the video yelling, drop the gun at the suspect. The man obliged and was taken into custody. Police say the weapon turned out to be a pellet gun, but residents are still in shock from the incident. I'm waking up this morning, this is a quote, I'm waking up this morning seeing a black handgun just being flung around, and I'm like, where am I right now? This is Canada, said Jessica Thrasher, who also captured the takedown on camera. Thrasher said that she's relieved that things didn't take a turn for the worse, that someone probably actually got shot with a pellet. Can you imagine? Oh, the humanity. So, again, here we are with a pellet gun, and let's look at the title of the story. Belleville residents shaken after police respond to gun call in the East End. This is all in August, by the way, right? And I think that's probably, you know, part of my point this is 1 month. So interestingly enough, I went to globalnews.ca and I put in a search just for the keyword guns on their, you know, on whatever recent stories, and I filtered by date. So just in the month of August, I'm just going to kind of run down these real quick. I'm not going to talk about every story, of course. But just in the month of August, you have two people arrested and charged in Alberta machine gun manufacturing investigation. I guess people have been making homemade machine guns in Alberta. Probably not licensed gun owners. Calgary police issue arrest warrants for suspected gun thief. Probably not a licensed gun owner. New steps to fight the guns and gangs problem in Surrey, BC. I doubt any of that has anything to do with licensed gun owners. Big gun and drug seizure in Surrey had to do with, I read that story actually, it had to do with Indo-Canadian gangs, not licensed gun owners. Gun crimes on the rise in Regina. Nothing to do with licensed gun owners again. And another story, I've been given a life sentence. Mothers of gun violence victims lead march to Queen's Park. Again, these are gang shootings, nothing to do with law-abiding gun owners. And then, of course, Belleville residents shaken after police respond to gun call. Wasn't even a gun. Police respond to a gun call in Belleville. We already talked about that one. And police on horseback arrest youth after attempted robbery with a replica handgun. And Winnipeg police speak about incident when officer's gun discharge and holster. Ooh, whoops. I guess you didn't want to really talk about that one. All that to say, and then also 80 charged as Hamilton police seize guns and drugs. That's in August as well. So this is the interesting thing. And then, of course, they have to have Wisconsin man accidentally shoots himself in heart with nail gun. That's got to be gun related. And, of course, Calgary, and this is August as well. Calgary police explain McDonald's mayhem after witnesses think man with pink ball gun had a rifle. So what am, you know, where are we going with all this? I'm going to wrap it up real quick. You guys have listened to a lot of this stuff. This is August only, but look at the coverage, look how it's represented, and look how little, precisely zero, had to do with law-abiding gun owners, licensed gun owners, and who, you know, what group of people in Canada are affected by firearm regulation. It's licensed gun owners. So, you know, again, not rocket science. This definitely is something that needs to be battled. We need to have organizations that contact media, that have online tools, shareable stuff, fact sheets, educational material, people that are reaching out to make sure that that the media is taken to task, and also that the regular non-gun owning population of Canada knows what these issues are, and they need to know the details. You know, the devil's in the details, just like the devil was in the details in that, in the story that I actually read. Starts out with somebody's brandishing a gun during road rage. Turns out it's an airsoft and the guy had been in trouble before. Right. So, I think it's all of our jobs, not only just the CCFR and its members and its volunteers, but everyone's job to represent gunners and gun owners in the most positive possible way. And I think the CCFR provides a great platform to do that. So anyway, kind of interesting. All of that just from 1 month. I do want to mention one other story, and this is kind of interesting. And it's not only the media, by the way, that caused some real misunderstanding, some real issues in how gun owners are portrayed. But let's go over and check out this story from Regina. And what it was hold on, the thing's loading right now. The source of guns on Regina's streets. So this is the police talking. Police are struggling with gun crime on Queen City streets, and some people might find that the source of the firearms is closer than expected. They're not being brought in by the United States. In fact, this is a quote. In fact, most of them are not even being brought across the border to come here. They're coming from break-and-enters, Regina Police Chief Evan Bray said. We see quite a lot of break-and-enters happening in rural Saskatchewan where firearms are stolen and then those end up in the city. Quite often, they're modified, Bray said. A barrel could be sawed off or something done to make them easier to conceal. But ultimately, they're being adapted so that they can be used easier to commit crime. So this is actually quite interesting. Last year was a bad year for gun-related crimes, but Bray is more optimistic about the first 6 months of this year. The numbers are going in the right way. We're seeing some decreases in terms of the number of people injured by a firearm, Bray said. We're seeing crime in general on a reduction right now. To keep safe, I have sympathy or empathy for Mr. Bray, because when you're talking on the spot, it is difficult. Even here, I'm talking into a mic and in private, and it's difficult to phrase your words properly. But you think that the media would help him out by, you know, fixing his grammar. But anyways, now this is the point of this story is, here's the advice: to keep safe, gun owners should keep their firearms unloaded and locked. If you're storing firearms, you know, it never hurts to go above and beyond what's required of you, a firearms instructor, Annie Quinnell, said. Putting them in a safe, but putting an extra locking device can never hurt. Okay, so here's my problem with this whole story. Do you think that Regina has a break and enter and a crime problem? That's the real story there. They have a crime problem. But it always goes back to the licensed gun owners, doesn't it? It's never like, yeah, you know what, people, we apologize. I know we're taking, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of tax revenue. And we have a real break and enter problem, but we're not going to, you know, have a story, tell you a story about what we're doing to solve this crime problem. What we're going to do is tell gun owners that they have an increased responsibility to put guns on or put locks on their guns. And they really need to keep them out of the hands of criminals when criminals are breaking into their homes when they're not there. So, you know, not to go on and on about it, but it's just, you know, you can always see when someone has absolutely no answers to a problem, because they'll go around and they'll blame something else. And in this case, as usual, blame someone else. Just kind of interesting how not only the media portray the problem to be licensed gun owners, but the police portray that as well. So that's about it, everybody. I'm going to wrap up this episode 5 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this with as many people as possible. Don't forget to donate or to become a member of the CCFR. And all of these stories can be found that we talked about on www.firearmrights.ca. Don't forget gundebate.ca is a great resource. And that was paid for, funded, and created by the members of the firearm owner community. So don't forget to use that as a resource. It's there for you. Other than that, I will see you guys in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening and take care.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Right now, there are politicians and bureaucrats in Canada who believe honest, hardworking Canadians cannot be trusted with firearms. Join the CCFR right now at www.firearmrights.ca.